Now, learner drivers are waiting up to 31 weeks before their driving test invitation, with the shortest waiting time to book a practical test 10 weeks. As of the start of this month, more than 100,000 learner drivers are waiting a test nationally, with around 15,600 of those having been given a test for their date. Labour Senator for Kildare, Mark Wall, is on the line. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Owen.
This data was provided to Labour TD Sean Sherlock through a parliamentary question that he asked. It shows that some 43,000 people are on official waiting lists for driving tests nationally. The core question here, Mark, is why is the waiting list so long?
Well, that is the question, and it is the question that my colleague Sean Sherlock asked, Owen. And, you know, when we look at the figures here for Kildare, which are 6,046, and even next door to Carlow, 2,751, it just shows the pressure that people are under. I'm dealing with a number of cases at the moment, particularly, and I'll just give you an example of one case, where a young student nurse needs her car to actually go on placement, and she can't get a test. She's been told that there are a number of weeks ahead of her in relation to doing her test, and that's just simply not good enough. We were told that extra centres and testing sites would be made available, but they just don't seem to have made a difference to the backlog on.
As you say there, Mark, here in Kildare, there's 6,046 on a waiting list, 2,751 just over the border in Carlow. Drogheda had the longest waiting list in the country, with an estimated 31 weeks before an invitation to a test will be issued as of the 3rd of November. And Tralee had the lowest waiting times at 10 weeks. As you know, Mark, particularly in counties like Kildare, where some of the areas are quite rural, getting your driving licence and getting that independence is crucial.
It is absolutely crucial, and so many young people are needing that for employment. I've given you the example of the student nurse that I'm dealing, just one case that I'm dealing with at the moment. But given the fact that we're trying to improve rural transport, this is essential for young people in order for them to access both education and employment. And the delays and the continued delays that we're seeing here through the figures provided to Deputy Sherlock are just simply not good enough. Something needs to happen to explain why the additional centres are not making a difference. That lady that I'm speaking about, she's going to be under pressure to complete her placement if she can't get access to a car, because basically she's living in rural Kildare, and unfortunately she doesn't have access to public transport from where she's living. So that's just one example, as I'm giving you, of what's happening for young people in particular who are trying to access employment. And these young people, as we all know, we want them to remain in our country. Most importantly, we need every nurse that we can get on. And this is an example of why we need maybe special compensation for somebody like that that is actually going on a work placement. I have tried for that young lady to try and get a placement for her as quickly as possible, but there's been no reply from the driving testing centre. And you can see from the figures that have been provided the reason why, because there is simply so many people on the waiting list.
Could a case be made, Mark, for an additional centre to open in Kildare, maybe in the south of the county? Because as we know, a lot of people have to travel in and out of Naas to get their driving tests. Some even have to go to Dublin or Portlaoise, other counties, to try and get, you know, a test. Do we need another centre in this county?
Yes, we do, because basically the figures are as you've said, quite high in Kildare. And we need to look at something down the south of the county, you know, even if it's based in Newbridge, Kildare Town, or even a tie. You know, something needs to happen in relation to young people being available in particular, you know, that they can get access to transport, that they can actually get to those jobs, that they can get to that education facility that they need to get to. And I think that we need to look at that as a short-term measure. This needn't be, you know, a full-time measure, but in a short term, we need to help young people. We need to help them in their employment. We need to help them in their education. And I believe we do, Owen. Given the figures that has been received, then definitely something needs to happen. A lot of people, you know, in South Kildare, from Newbridge all down, look at other test centres to try and avail of a quicker time. But as you look at the overall figures, it's very hard to pick a centre at the moment where you will avail of a quicker time. And that's the worry for so many people.
Okay, they're the latest figures in terms of driving tests. You mentioned how we need to help people in the south of the county access work and education, Mark. You raised the issue of the lack of school places in the Shannon. I spoke to you last year about this. I said I have no doubt that we'll be talking about it again in 12 months' time. And here we are. What's happening down in the south of the county with school places?
Yeah, here we are, is exactly the issue, Owen. I've been contacted by so many people in the last 2 to 3 weeks that they're back again, and that their young loved ones are getting a position of 50th, 60th and 45th on the list. And that's what's happening. I welcome the fact in the last couple of days that the Department of Education are saying that they're working with the schools in the general Newbridge, the Curragh area, and that they're actually going to allocate places or additional places in the Corra post-primary school in order to act to allow those people to get to school. And that can be very welcome, but it is still a worry for so many people of how they're going to access the Corra. It seems to me that what's been said by the department, that the KWETB will actually be putting additional classes on in the current post-primary school in the Corra to facilitate the numbers that we have at the moment. But I'm hearing figures of that there's 200 and 300 on waiting lists, you know, for the various schools that are in South Kildare, and there's only about 100, 150 or 180 in most of the school places. So there's a huge problem here once again. We knew we were going to get there. I welcome the fact that a school has been announced in Kildare Town. That can't be built quick enough, but we need to ensure that those that need a place in September 23 can avail of it. I've had too many parents on to me in the last couple of weeks, you know, by email, by telephone call, and that's the reason I raised it in the Shannon. We need certainty for those people and those young people in particular.
Indeed. Well, the Cian Corla and, of course, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare South, Sean O'Farrell, raised this issue on his Facebook page. Here's what he had to say.
What we are seeing in Kildare and Newbridge and the Corra in recent weeks is the local schools inviting applications for second level places, parents responding, and in all of the schools, both in Newbridge, the Corra and Kildare, the situation now arrived at where the number applying far outnumber the number of places available. As a member of the board of Kildare Town Community School, for example, I know that 292 applications have been received for just 180 places. So 180 places cannot satisfy 292 people. And the same, maybe not the same exact figures, but similar figures are reported from Newbridge, and a high number as well applying to the Corra. And indeed, we could, if we wished, include Monastrevin and Kilcullen in the areas impacted by growing numbers. It is a fact that the Department of Education, rather than looking at school needs on a town-by-town basis, are now looking at that issue on a regional basis. So they're viewing a number of towns together. Last year, I pleaded with the department to engage in advance with the schools to ensure that we didn't have the sort of chaos where students are upset, parents are upset because they're not certain or have no clue at all about what place might be available for their kids in the coming September. So I am grateful that the week before last, the Department of Education actively engaged with the Newbridge, Corra and Kildare schools to discuss the numbers situation. I am hopeful that arising out of that, agreement will be reached between the Department of Education and KWETB, the sponsor of the new Corra Community School. I am confident that arrangements will be arrived at, that temporary accommodation will be provided so that that new school can commence and so that the additional pupils in the catchment area can be accommodated locally in September of 2023.
Cian Corla and Fianna Fáil TD Sean O'Farrell issuing that update on his Facebook page over the last couple of days. We also have a further update which Mark Wall referenced there, and it's a statement from the Department of Education saying that the department is working closely with the Kildare and Wicklow Education Training Board and the Corra Community College regarding the provision of further accommodation to facilitate a significant increase in first year places available at the school for the September 23-24 school year. The department has reached an agreement with the Department of Defence and Army personnel to refurbish existing accommodation adjacent to the school's current accommodation. The Department of Education will manage the refurbishment project over the coming months to ensure that it's ready for the start of the 2023-24 school year, and will keep both KWETB and the school fully informed as the project progresses. That's the statement from the Department of Education, and thanks to Sean O'Farrell and Labour Senator Mark Wall for their work and update on that issue.
Kildare Today with Owen Beattie.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare KFM.
Message in from Lizzie in Strafford, which further highlights the issue in terms of the waiting list of driving tests. My son had to go to Mullingar for his test. NACE couldn't take him until June. And as we heard from Mark Wall as well, him saying that perhaps we do need or there is scope for a driving test centre in the south of the county because of the amount of pressure that NACE is under to try and meet those needs. Regina has been in touch to say that Councillor Brendan Wells and Tim Durkin have concerns regarding Kildare County Council's planning department and numerous planning refusals in the county. They also mentioned new demands for costly numerous expert reports to accompany applications, adding extra work and expenses to all applications. Flood reports, ecology reports, conservation reports, etc, etc. Would like to hear more from both councillors and hope Kildare County Council planners might ease down the demands during the housing crisis. Well, we have actually spoken to Tim Durkin and Brendan Weld on that issue, but something that we might follow up on as well here on Kildare Today. Indeed, Councillor Pádraic McAvoy, independent councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, joins us. Good morning, Pádraic.
Owen, good morning to you and your listeners.
I'm not sure if you want to maybe comment on that or leave it to Brendan Weld and Tim Durkin just regarding the number of refusals here in the county from Kildare County Council for planning permission.
Yeah, so I suppose I did hear the motions debated and I heard the council sort of explain that they're following both policies nationally and locally that are in the county plan. And they said that if there are grounds to overturn their judgment, it goes from Bord Pleanála. Now, that's the main point to remember, which was over 2.5-3 weeks ago from the discussion. But I know the county council's approach is to facilitate development where the proposals comply with policies. They don't approach things from a refusal perspective. But after that, I suppose I need to see more detailed comments any further.
All right, OK. An issue then that we got word of on Friday, quite a serious incident out at Millicent Bridge between Bowdenstown and Millicent, a truck crashing into the bridge, causing significant damage, and he could have been seriously injured as well, Pádraic.
So as darkness broke on Friday, I was starting to get reps about road closures in the vicinity of Millicent. An articulated lorry carrying waste to the Bord Mona facility at Dreid was travelling from Bowdenstown towards Fermount Cross. And the lorry had turned on the elbow bend there approaching the bridge. But just as it went through that point on the road, it seemed to move left or turn left through the wall and end up upside down on the riverbank, sliding down towards the river. So the cab was inverted at the front of the truck and in the water at the edge of the river. I think as people, neighbours called for assistance and as the emergency people arrived, the driver had emerged from the cab, thankfully, and was sort of waiting assistance to walk away from the site. So I gather she had left the hospital services later on without much issue, and people were, on Saturday morning, were sort of thankful that there wasn't a serious injury to go with the big mess and clean-up that had to happen on Saturday. I went to look at the site on Saturday morning, and by the time I arrived, there was a large crane in place preparing to remove the cab from the riverbed or from the edge of the river. The workers had put in shuttering around the waste, which was starting to spill, had spilled from the trailer to stop any more of it getting into the river. And they'd also put down oil bunding to capture any spillage that might come from the fuel or oil in the engine. So I think as they lifted the tractor, the pulling unit, clear of the water and the site onto the road, they were of the view that the fuel had remained intact and hadn't leaked, but there had been some minor oil spillage exposed into the river. And then as the operation drew on towards lunchtime, they pulled the trailer up off the waste pile and had to turn it and get it onto get it away from the site so they could move in equipment to clear the waste and rubbish that was left piled on the side of the road. I suppose I had to leave it at that time but confirmed the engineers from the council later on that they had secured the site from the point of view of passing vehicles. The bridge movement is down now to one lane with traffic lights until repairs can be planned and implemented along the parapet wall. There was about 20 metres of the parapet wall pushed in off the bridge, and there would be a safety issue if they didn't reduce the lane to one lane of traffic for the, for a temporary period of time.
In many ways, it's similar to what we've seen in Cara a few months ago, or was it at the start of this year, where Cara Bridge was closed for a significant period of time because of it being struck by a truck and is now down to one lane. So traffic lights on both sides of that bridge at Millicent, which is now, you know, operating at limited capacity. That road itself, though, Pádraig, would that have been quite a dangerous road previously at night time? Was it something that you would have had concerns about before?
The last time, so there have been a number of crashes. I mean, I do recall two trucks coming off the road, maybe about 150 metres from this location, where one had moved and another had slid off the side of the road. Again, I think the perception locally, and I wouldn't question it, is that the traffic intensity has increased. The number of heavy goods vehicles has increased, and they attribute some of this change to the Salins bypass delivering vehicles from the M7 to that area. Some of it obviously heading, like this truck, towards the Dreard waste facility. Others carrying other forms of goods coming and going from, I suppose, the Allan Wood, Eden Derry, the R402 direction. There will be kind of a follow-up. I think the people in the area are keen to get the facts and to ensure that the authorities know about the number of incidences along the road, and that acknowledge that it's a local road, CL2002, and although it has been strengthened in places to bear the weight of these loads that are coming from the heavy goods vehicles, there's certainly a question mark over its width and its capacity to safely carry such heavy traffic loads on a road, and that's something we'll be looking at in the next while.
All right, with that update, Independent Councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Pádraig McAvoy, thanks indeed for joining us. Pádraig, good morning to you. So that crash at Millicent Bridge happened last Friday, a truck crashing into the parapet wall. It then went over the side of the bridge and had to be removed then all over Saturday and into Sunday. Traffic lights are now in place. The bridge is down to just one lane, so keep that in mind if that is part of your route. I know it is quite a local road there between Bowdenstown and Salins and Millicent in Clane, but that is the latest update that we have for you. We're going to stay in the Clane Maynooth Municipal District though, and get this update now from Social Democrats Councillor Aidan Farrelly. You might remember on the 7th of November there was a public meeting held in the Westgrove Hotel regarding the 120 bus service and, well, the lack of service, or people saying that they had been let down in recent months. He met with Go Ahead Ireland over the course of the last few days, and here's what he had to say in the update that he's given following that meeting. Aidan Farrelly.
We've had a very busy week last week, and another one to come this week, really, as a follow-up from the really interesting public meeting that we had in the Westgrove Hotel on November 7th about buses. Look, we all know, and your listeners are probably starting to get quite frustrated about the amount of times I'm talking about it, but it really is one of the most pertinent issues facing people, certainly in around Clane and Naas and Selbridge and Kilcock and all the north, really, of the county, trying to commute into Dublin, trying to get to work, to school. So we had that very important public meeting, and as a follow-up to that, last Friday I met with the Managing Director of Go Ahead Ireland, Andrew Edwards, and his team over at the depot in Naas, who showed me around and discussed with me, I suppose, some of the logistics of the services, some of the challenges and frustrations that they would have had up until now. But I suppose most reassuring for me, and something that I think is very hopeful for us today, is that the company really are confident that those issues that they've had really kind of dissipated at this point. They've got a full team of drivers in place, a full fleet of buses. They've kind of shown me some evidence of the trends really improving in terms of no-shows of buses, of lates really starting to reduce. They did name some continuing challenges, I suppose, that face them, many of which really the responsibility lies with the NTA, more so than Go Ahead Ireland in terms of, I suppose, the duration of trips doesn't seem to be as accurate as outlined on the timetables. And then when passengers or would-be passengers are being left behind at bus stops, Go Ahead Ireland and their drivers are evidence in this. So they're taking a record of all of this and they're trying to create a case for the NTA to show that certain buses are at capacity continuously and that to create the evidence really to justify additional services which the NTA ultimately need to sanction. So a very positive meeting last Friday and something that we're hoping will, in terms of a service, really continue to increase. But we'll stay on it, and that group of people that we met a couple of weeks ago will meet again in the next couple of weeks and continue to monitor this. Also this week I'm meeting with the 139 service provider, which is JJ Kavanagh's, again just to offer the feedback that was brought forward at that public meeting, again to try and see where the challenges are for this. We know the 139 service, Owen, is at capacity, leaving Naas really, and it's not serving people in Sallins, Clane or further out to get to Maynooth University, for example. So we see again that the timetable structurally, there's just a challenge with that, in that it's a kind of every 2 hourly service, and if you don't make that first bus, you're just not going to get to work or to college on time. So again, we'll continue. We'll have that meeting on Tuesday with JJ Kavanagh's, and happy to update you and your listeners again after that. But progress, I suppose, is the way best to describe, I think, this, that we're moving forward, we're trying to find solutions, work with the service providers, communicate with the NTA and the Oireachtas Committee on Transport to really see ultimately that people have a reliable and consistent public transport network in Kildare, one step at a time.
Yeah, Social Democrats councillor on the Clane Maynooth Municipal District, Aidan Farrelly, with that update on the 120 bus. Now, just want to move on then, and we're going to go to the Kill area very shortly to get an update there as to what's happening with the proposal to house up to 348 refugees at the Kill Equestrian Centre. But there was a parliamentary question that was put in to Minister Roderick O'Gorman asking how many people have been accommodated here in Ireland as part of the IPAS accommodation system as a whole, and that is the accommodation system for international protection of people fleeing war or refugees, etc. So a breakdown was given by Minister Roderick O'Gorman, and so far here in Kildare, 486 refugees have been accommodated through that IPAS system. 486. In the counties around us then, in Laois, 453. In Dublin, 6,496. No surprise that that is the highest on the list, of course, given that it's the capital. In Meath, 862. In Offaly, 161. And in Wicklow, 700. So altogether, bringing to a total 16,908 people accommodated and 486 here in the Kildare area. In Dublin, as I say, 6,496. Cork then is the second highest. Again, no surprise there, with it being a very, very large city and county, 1,156. But they're the latest figures that have been brought forward by Minister Roderick O'Gorman as part of a parliamentary question. Fine Gael, councillor on the Naas Municipal District and Mayor of Kildare, Fintan Brett. Good morning, Fintan.
Good morning, Owen. Good morning, listeners.
Just to tie in with that then, and to get an update on what's happening in Kill, the residents group there are to meet Minister Roderick O'Gorman tomorrow, are they?
Yes, tomorrow evening, 7 p.m. in Dáil Éireann. Three representatives are meeting the minister regarding the plans for Kill. I got a call last Wednesday, and a very welcome call, as you're aware. We've been trying to get communication open for over 2 weeks regarding the plans or what was happening. We got a letter 2 weeks ago yesterday saying that some of the they were reviewing the situation, but on Wednesday then I got a call. So I take it from that on, being speaking, you know, being direct on it, that I'd imagine the fact that they're asking them to come to a meeting would mean that they're going to go ahead with the equestrian centre as a step down facility for Ukrainian families.
Okay, what's the general feeling now locally, Fintan? It's been a couple of weeks since news emerged of this proposal at the equestrian centre. There were a couple of protests there, a slow walk through the village last week. There was a slow drive through the village yesterday. So residents still standing firm?
Well, again, I don't think it's about Ukrainians. In fact, my belief is that the vast majority of people in Kill would stand and support traumatised families coming from Ukraine. They've suffered enough, and certainly the people of Kill wouldn't be out to add to that. Quite the opposite, they'd be going out of their way to support them. It comes back to what we've said a couple of times on this: the lack of communication, the lack of information, and the rumour mill that allows to happen is, as I had said previously to you, there was rumours around that there was 500 or 600 males coming in there, and that created fear. And you can see that in the fact that most of these people that are protesting are young people with families living in the locality. So I would hope that tomorrow evening, when these three representatives go and meet the minister and his advisor, that we will get clarity and hopefully we'll be able to move forward from there. And the channels of communication is open. And as I said, I do believe that they will proceed with the equestrian centre as a step-down facility. And once the people meet, we'll know Wednesday. And again, I would hope then that once they know what's happening, that the people of Kill will rally around and support those traumatised women and children coming from Ukraine.
Okay, that is the latest from Kill then, and Mayor of Kildare, Fine Gael, Councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Fintan Brett, confirming there that representatives of the Kill Residents Group are to meet Minister Roderick O'Gorman tomorrow evening, and we'll have reaction to that then and an update on Wednesday morning. Going back to the text line then, 0833 97 97 97, Mary in Salins is in touch to say thank God there was no one walking or cycling on that road on Friday when the lorry overturned. I used to walk that way but stopped going down that way because it got very busy with traffic. The road narrows as you come up to the bridge. That's Millicent Bridge. It's a pity because it's lovely there at the bridge looking down on the Liffey. Thankfully the driver was okay and not seriously injured. Joe in Rathangan says, is it the GAA policy not to take cash at the gate and refuse to admit anyone that's not booked in online yesterday? Patrons at an underage match in Clain GAA could not gain entry and could not get coverage on their phone to book through the website, and had to go to the car park to get coverage, so missed the first half of the game. My understanding of that, Joe, is that yes, that is the policy now. You have to book the game or book the tickets for the game online through websites, and the cash isn't being taken, as I understand it. I'd be interested to know, what game was that at? An underage game that they were charging into in Clain, was it? Just let us know what game that was at if you want to get back to me on that. But as I understand it, you do have to book the tickets through your phone now, and they don't take cash going into any of those club games.
Sports Review Monday on Kildare Today.
First of all, though, we are going to look back at the local sporting action in soccer. Athy club Clonmullion made KDFL history yesterday by completing an historic treble. They'd already won the Senior Division League title and the Lumsden League Cup. In yesterday's KDFL Senior Cup final played in Clain, they beat Coyle Dove 3-0. Goals by Cody Mulhall on 19 minutes, Jody Dillon on 45 minutes, and a 92nd minute goal by Ricky Moriarty. Strafford beat Athy Town 3-1 in the KDFL League Shield final. Sam Friel, Jamie Boyne and Rhys Kelly with the Strafford goals. Chris Cudden scored the goal for Athy. There were three finals yesterday in the Whitewater Shopping Centre under 23 football competition. There was also a final on Friday night, and on Saturday there was an A semi-final as well. Seamus Dillon and Ger McNally were at those games over the weekend. Morning, lads.
Morning.
We're going to start off with the A semi-final on Saturday then, Seamus, and briefly on these games because there's five to get through, but Maynooth beating Raheens 1-9 to 1-7 to book their place in the final.
Yeah, Maynooth were comfortable winners. Well, sorry, they weren't comfortable winners. They were comfortable leaders at the half-time break. 3 points after an opening minute goal from Sean Heaver put them into a 1-1 to no score advantage, and they extended that out to 5 points before the 9th minute. But at half time they led 1-6-3, and you could only see one victory at that stage. And Manute did hold on. Raheem's pushed him right to the very end. Manute only scored 3 points in that second half. Heaver, David Bonas from the middle of the field, and halfback Fiona Gillon. But Raheem's came right back into it in the closing 7 minutes. Jack Taff with a pointed free, then a penalty from Gavin Thompson, which was taken twice, although it was Gavin was fouled, and then he missed. It was an excellent save. He got back up to take a second one after he'd been fouled, and he put it away. And it was all Raheem's in those closing 2 or 3 minutes. We had 5 minutes of injury time. A brilliant, brilliant save from the Maynooth goalkeeper to keep out Thompson's goalbound effort in the 59th minute, and then it was Jack Taff with a fisted effort right on the 64th minute. It just went wide of the post, but Manute held on for 1-9-1-7 victory to be the first team into the final of the A Championship.
All right, the B final then was played between Moorfield and Leixlip. Seamus, a good game it looks here on paper. 3-8 Moorfield, Leixlip 1-13.
Yeah, absolutely. Of the games that I saw the weekend, was by far the best game of the weekend. Really, really high standard of football. Moorfield and Leixlip went at it from the very beginning, and Moorfield ran out winners on a 3-8-1-13 scoreline. They led 2-5-7 points at half time. Ryan Hanafy and Aaron Martin with 2 goals and 4 points in front. But to give credit to the Leixlip boys, they fought back, and two early points reduced that gap back to 2 points in the 37th minute. Brilliant work from Darren McDermott. He saw it right through from the middle of the field and set up Luke Mann, who made no mistake and put Leixlip in front. 1-9-2-5 for the first time in the 37th minute. But again, it was Moorfield that came back, and 2 Gary Redmond scores, one from a free and one from play, put them back in front again. And the ebbed and flowed, and it was Leixlip who hit 2 in a row, Luke Mann again, and Killian Doherty put them back a point in front at 1-11-2-7 as we went inside the closing 10 minutes. But 2 crucial scores then in that particular period of time, in the 51st and the 53rd minute. Gary Redmond with a point from a free to level it up, and then Evan O'Brien, after brilliant work from Tommy McGrath, who had come on as a sub only minutes earlier, he set up O'Brien and he put it back of the net for Moorfield's 3rd goal. Give credit to Leixlip, they came back again, and Jack Barrett with his 6th point of the game from a free, and Kieran Silk reduced it back to a point as we headed into injury time. There was 5 minutes of that, and some brilliant defending led by Tom Harrington, the Moorfield captain, kept Leixlip at bay. And Jack Barrett did have 1 late effort to from a 47 or 8 metre free, just probably a little outside his distance, but it drifted wide of the post, and referee Billy O'Connell, referee Kieran Harris, brought it to an end. But a really, really good encounter and a good advertisement for the Under-23 Championship.
Okay, and briefly then on this, in the C final Friday night, Rathangan beat Alan Wood 11 points to 10 after extra time.
Yeah, 8 points all. It was 5 points to 4 in favour of Rathangan at half time. It was 8 points each at the interval, and it was anybody's game at that stage. But 2 minutes into the second half, Robert Walsh, the Rathangan centre half back, received a 2nd yellow, and you would have thought that Rathangan were going to be on the back foot, but they held on. It took 2 late points from Owen Bagnall and Rory Moran to level it up at 8 each at the end of full time. And we went into extra time. Rathangan led 10-9, and then they led 11-9, and it was a point from Owen Bagnall that brought it back to 11-10. But after 7 minutes of injury time, the clock wasn't the friend of Alan Wood, and Rathangan held out for a good victory. Sam Savage and Murray Curtin hitting 9 points between them. They were 2 stars of the game for Rathangan, on a good victory for them.
All right, that's the A, B and C championships then. And looking at the D and E games was Ger McNally and Ger, starting off with the D final. Ellistown defeating Milltown 2-13-1-9.
Yeah, a deserved win following a good second half performance from Ellistown. The first half had flowed nicely along the way. Ellistown made a great start by scoring the first 3 points. Milltown then hit back with 3 of their own, And after Ellis then went 4-3 ahead, Milltown again scored 3 points in a row to go 6-4 ahead in the 24th minute. And those points coming from Ben Houston, Rob Scully and Aaron Jacob. But Ellis Town struck the last 2 points of the first half through Conor Lindy and Tyke Watson to tie it up at 6 points apiece. And those two players actually scored goals then in the second half. Ellis Town had a great start to the second half. They outscored Milltown by 1-5 to a point in the opening 12 minutes of the second half. The goal coming through Lindy on the 40th minute. That put them 7 points ahead, 1-11 to 7 points. But Milltown did rally. They got a couple of frees through Aaron Walker. And then a goal from Shane Daly in the 50th minute left them just 2 points behind. But Ellis Town rallied again and they finished out strongly. Tom Waters and Tyke Watson pointing before Watson put the seal on the victory with a goal in the third minute of injury time after some great approach play by Pat Martin and a wonderful finish as well by Watson. So 2-13 to 1-9 the final score.
The final then saw Kill victorious, defeating St Kevin's 1-8 to 7 points.
Yeah, and that's despite them having three players sent off in the second half. That's what they give you a false impression of the game, really, because it was by no means a dirty game at all. But it was just the way things fell for Kill in the second half. They were 3 points to two behind after 12 minutes, but then completely dominated the last 20 minutes of the first half to go in 1-7-3 ahead at the halftime break. The goal coming in the 20th minute from Adam Lee. St Kevin's did get back into the game early in the second half with two scores, Jamie O'Brien from a free, and then Enda Keane, before Kill had two men sent off in the space of 3 minutes. Carl Lennox, who has played first team football for Shamrock Rovers this season as well as for the Kill senior team, he was rather harshly done by a thought with a second yellow card in the 38th minute. Probably left complaint for Dara Doyle in the 40th minute when he was shown a straight red for a high challenge. But despite the loss of those two players in the last 20 minutes, Kill were pretty comfortable, to be honest. Jamie O'Brien pointed the free kick straight after Doyle's sending off, but they only got one more point in the game, and that came in the 60th minute, and they picked up the third red card of the game in the third minute of injury time. Morgan Kokoman has shown a black card, having already been shown a yellow. So 12 players were on the field when the final whistle blew, but Kiel still quite comfortable on the end as St Kevin's couldn't take advantage of the extra players, and it finished 1-8 for Kiel, 7 points for St Kevin's.